Good morning and welcome to our Monday morning chapel. I'd like to highlight an announcement for tomorrow night at 7 o'clock in Meyer Hall 101. Dr. Jonathan Stadler will be speaking on the subject of the theory of evolution and psychology. I think you'll find it very interesting. And if evolution is true, what does that say about morality and where morality came from as well? So I think you'll find that very interesting tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. We begin our worship today with the prayer for Monday morning. You'll find it on page 168 in the front part of your hymn book, page 168. Let us join our hearts and voices together. At the beginning of the week, I cry to you, O Holy Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, that you would fill my heart and mind with your Holy Spirit, that I may think, speak, and do only that which pleases you. Unite my thoughts and desires with yourself in the love of Jesus Christ. Cleanse my conscience with his blood, that I may grow in you this entire week, yes, all the days of my life. Strengthen me with your might. Make me sincere in my love to you and willing to serve you and my neighbor. Teach me to resist the temptation of my own corrupt heart and the enticements of evil men. Make the vanity of this world bitter to me, that you may become the more sweet. Teach me also to bear the burden of this week. Lead me as a loving father, and help me to follow you as your child and obey you. Bless all my labor and guide me with your wisdom, that I may be cheerful and confident and also faithful in all my work. Be the beginning and the end of all my labor to your glory and my salvation. Amen. Our scripture reading for this morning is taken from the letter to the Hebrews, the 4th chapter, beginning with verse 12. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there's no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would strengthen our faith through them. Amen. Back in the early 1980s, there was a tennis tournament in New York City, the U.S. Open, one of the largest tournaments in the world. And it was the semifinals, and there were two men playing tennis against each other. And player A hit the ball across the net to player B, and this was in a tiebreaker to determine who would go to the championship. Hundreds of thousands of dollars were on the line. And so as player A hit the ball over the net to player B, it hit the shoulder of player B, which meant the other guy would win the point. But the judge, the umpire, did not see it. And this was back before instant replay would be brought into effect. And player A came and objected and said, it hit him. It clearly hit him. This was a crucial point. It was going to make a difference for him whether he would go on to win the tournament or not. And so the umpire finally called player B, who the ball had hit, over to the side by the net to talk to him. And he said, did it hit you? I've never seen that asked before. But he asked the player himself, did it hit you? And the man shrugged his shoulders and shook his head. And so the umpire made the call in favor of player B, which meant he won the point. He went on to win that match and then went on into the finals because of that. It was interesting that everybody in the international audience that was watching that tennis tournament that day, everybody, we saw the replay 10 times, everybody else saw it clearly what had happened, and clearly could see the motives of this player who was lying. And yet the one person to whom it actually mattered to make the decision was the only person that couldn't actually see that and made a decision based on some faulty information. What we have in front of us in our text today is exactly the opposite. You and I, with our faults and sins, are able to hide them from everybody if we really try hard enough. We conceal our motives. We conceal the reasons why we do things. We're able to hide that from absolutely everybody in our life, it would seem. And yet the one to whom it actually matters, God, is able to look inside of us. Even when you were a little child, if you're like me, you were pretty capable of this. You developed this ability pretty early on, a talent for camouflaging your sin. You were able to come up to your mom and ask her for something and pretend it was for some other motive and reason, and yet inside you had maybe different motives, or say something to a teacher, for instance. As adults, we like to sometimes show that we're really deeply concerned about somebody, and really maybe our real motive, or at least part of our motive inside, is so people will think, wow, what a caring Christian person. Maybe outwardly we act very friendly towards someone, when inwardly we're actually thinking some pretty negative thoughts about them, or maybe learning something from them we can't wait to go gossip and tell other people about. But in the surface of this conversation, we sure like to act like we really have sincere, deep concern for that individual. Maybe there's times when we like to look at someone's body and really focus on it, but we know we have to kind of camouflage that a little bit, so we pretend that we're maybe looking at something else. There's a reason that computer companies, they know something about us. There's a reason that they have a thing where you can clear away the history of what you've been looking at on the internet. Because they know we don't want our real motives exposed. We don't want people to know the real wickedness and evil that's sitting down inside of us. Maybe sometimes we express gratitude to a certain person in hopes that they're going to like us more and maybe give us more of whatever we got from them. There's a lot of times and ways and places in our lives when what's really going on inside of us, at least partly, if not entirely, our motive, we have to try to fake it and camouflage it in front of other people. And when we get away with it pretty well, we can manipulate the impression that people have of us pretty well. We get pretty adept at this. This is something that we're very, very talented at. And yet the one individual to whom it actually really does matter, the one being that it really matters in front of, God Himself, the one who determines where you will get to spend eternity, is the only one that knows the truth. The only one that really looks down inside of us and reads our hearts and our motives. And really, in the end, that's the only one that matters. Trust me, on Judgment Day, that's the only one in your mind that it's going to matter. Here's a good example of that. Remember the story of how Jesus was anointed by the woman as he was preparing to go to his death? And one of Jesus' disciples, Judas, was there observing this. And he got upset with the fact that so much money was spent on this ointment. It could have been given to the poor, he said. Everybody else in the room was so impressed with it. Yeah, what a nice thought to have for all the poor people. But the Holy Spirit tells us he said this because he was a thief. The Holy Spirit was able to read what his real motive was down inside of him. He was hoping to get that money given to Jesus somehow, and which he took care of and possibly use it for himself. It's interesting the descriptions in our text that are given about how God's word comes to us. Just think how penetrating they are. The word of God is living. It's not some dead old story. It's living. It's powerful, our text says. It's sharper than a sword. All things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. The author, by the Holy Spirit, slices through our camouflage right down inside of us. He says, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. We don't even know where that is. That's how deep inside of us the penetrating word of God comes with God's power and judgment down inside of us as human beings. That is terrifying, especially as we think about dying, facing God. If that passage was all God gave us, we would just want to run away, just absolutely run away. But listen to how he follows. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession, our trust in him, our confession of him. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet was without sin. When you're really honest about yourself, is there any doubt that you need someone to buffer you before God? You need someone to stand between you and this holy, judging God? And that's exactly what God has provided for us through the work of his Son. In the same way that the high priest on the Day of Atonement walked behind that curtain and made an offering on behalf of all the people that he represented, wearing a breastplate of 12 stones to represent the 12 tribes of Israel, representing all of God's people in this one man. Even so, Jesus Christ, the very Son of God himself, our brother, has come into the world to go behind that same curtain before God and to stand in front of this holy, judging, wrath-filled God, angry with our sin, and to plead in front of him on your behalf. To stand and make a plea to him, forgive them because of what I'm doing by his blood and his death and his sacrifice. This is the one mediator that could do that, the one individual in all of history that could possibly stand between you, your wickedness like mine, and God, and have peace come from heaven to us. And that's exactly what we have through Christ. Absolute forgiveness, absolute peace from this God of all of his anger, because he decided to pour it on his Son instead of on you. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, John writes, but that the world through him might be saved. Because of Christ, notice the invitation at the end of our text that every one of us is given. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. Now think of that. The God that knows everything about you, the God that looks right down into your mind, who knows things that you've forgotten about yourself, because of Christ, he now invites you to come before his throne. And he doesn't just say, come before me. He says, boldly. Come boldly before my throne. Have no fear. Have no doubt that I love you. Have no doubt that you have peace with me. Have no doubt that your sins are forgiven. Come and pray to me. He invites us to come and bring our request to him and to approach him with absolute boldness and confidence because of Christ. What an amazing God we have. There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen. We continue with our hymn.